Stop laughing!
Oh, you Sam. You fat-headed Sam.
Stop that! You're no good. I know you're no good, but heaven help me, I love you.
The Self-Genius Hour of Squatches.
Yowling and screaming like a cat. It's a cat, you hear me? A cat!
This horrible thing, it goes beyond the normal into the supernatural. Everyone should know about it. The world should know about it. Science.
You mean science? Who cares about science? You're going to let everybody know what's happened to...
The Self-Genius Hour of
It's my shame, mine. And you're not going to tell a living soul about it. No one, you hear me? No one.
It's my duty, John. I must inform the authorities.
Keep away, I say.
Oh. No, no. He was going to tell them about you. Everyone. They have taken you away from me, locked you up, pointed at you, laughed at you.
It's a shame.
Hello?
Mikey? It's Ben. What's that sound?
I'm making a fire. First, you crumple the paper.
Oh, no, no, you can't do that. Where's Marisa? She's supposed to be watching it.
Oh, she fell asleep.
Asleep?
I've got to go.
No, no.
Bye.
Mikey, please, don't.
When they ask you why you fell asleep when you were babysitting, just tell them you were stoned. They'll understand. Sponsored by
The Self-Genius Hour of Squatch.
Dear friends, it's Hour of Slack number 1043. Only, again, I'm lying because we're going to play a rerun, a really old rerun from 1987, probably around August 1987. Hour of Slack number 91 with a special guest, Pope Robert Anton Wilson, author of the Illuminatus trilogy with the late Robert Shea, and Cosmic Trigger, and so many other books. Robert Anton Wilson was a huge influence on the development of the Church of the Subgenius, unquestionably. And I'm really glad we actually were able to get him into the station in Dallas a couple of times. This was the first time. I was a baby, friends. You'll be able to tell by the both the quality of the tape and the quality of my questions and comments. This was the little baby Reverend Stang. I was only 33 or something. This was almost 20 years ago. So I hope you'll be able to cut us some slack, as they say, regarding the emotional quality, shall we say, of yours truly, but it's the background music is great, and oh, by the way, the background music right now is great, and it's by the Flying Ryan Brothers, or the Fly-In Ryan Brothers, I should say. Their album Blue Marble, a big guitar masterpiece. They almost got an Emmy a couple of years ago. You can get more about them from ryanetics.com, R-Y-A-N-E-T-I-C-S, sort of like Dianetics. Anyway, let us plunge right into this ancient, ancient show and praise all the Bobs. Oh, dear friends, yes, I'm going to crank this show back into unholy life here. Got my little intro tape queued up at a random point. I don't even know where it's going to start, so let's see if it's meaningful.
Hello?
yes, dear friends. Well, next time I'll cue these things up a little better. That wasn't the intro tape. Will, what have you done?
That's
Will,
what I cued.
That's right. Okay. Okay. Friends, dear friends, it's the coincidences are all important. All important. I want you to know. Yes. Now it feels right. This is the hour of slack. From the Subgenius Radio Ministry, dear friends, and this is your host, Reverend Ivan Stang. Back from my vacation in Antarctica with my kids and someone else, the dangerous someone else, you girls out there, and I got slack! Praise Bob on my vacation! I did get slack. Long overdue indeed it was. And for that I owe quite a bit to the beautiful angel whose timely arrival and help and succor provided relief. And I spell relief F-R-O-P. The Willa Dobbs did the show last week entirely on his own, friends. I want you to know I didn't cue up any of that stuff. It was his first time on the radio, and I thought he did a fantastic job. And it was a good change of face and voice here. So we'll make him do it again and again. I'll party. Buck's devival was last night, the anti-Stang devival, and I understand it was a hot, hot devival, like 120 degrees hot in the bar of soap. But Popess Cecilia and Reverend Chastity Belt, both each independently told me that their personal sections were fantastic and the best part of the show. A typical Subgenius approach. I missed it because, well, friends, because I had to finish stuff that you members paid for years ago. Now, tonight, there's not going to be a whole lot of tape like we usually have, partly because we're being videotaped tonight. So turn on your TVs on channel 101. And see, since we're being videotaped, the great video operators, Reverend Garcia and Dealey Lama, wouldn't have anything to shoot except for those tiny reels turning and the VU meters bouncing around unevenly. But mainly, the main reason it's not going to be taped tonight, my children, is because we have an esteemed and honored guest tonight, one who's only in the U.S., once a year or less. And this man is famous as hell to those who matter, and also to most Bobbies as well. And the rest of you had best take heed. So we shall take advantage of this man's time here by giving you Robert Anton Wilson. One Bob leads to another, dear friends. And Dr. Wilson, welcome.
It's a thrill to be here. It was a thrill to meet Bob this afternoon, to shake his hand and find out all those rumors about his death were terribly exaggerated.
What? You met Bob? That was something I was going to get into later. Now, I read this article you wrote about Philip K. Dick, and in which you kept saying that J.R. Bob Dobbs and the great Irish scientist DeSelby kept interrupting you and giving you absurd suggestions on how to finish the thing. And I was going to announce to our listeners that was the first time anybody has actually seen J.R. Bob Dobbs in like 3 years now, at least in a physical manifestation. And here you ran into him again last night.
I ran into him this afternoon on the street. And I must say, the pictures just don't do him justice. Those cold blue eyes remind me of Paul Newman, and those ears remind me of Alfred E. Newman.
That Alfred E. Newman of Mad Magazine is actually Bob's third cousin. He's sort of like country cousin.
I thought so.
That family was not exposed to the same nuclear test that Bob's family was back in the 1920s. You didn't know they were doing tests back then. Well, James Joyce did. I heard about that. Dr. Will, should I call you doctor or saint or pope or what is your
I prefer just to be called Pope Robert the 23rd.
That's pretty classy.
You can say Your Holiness for short if you want.
Yes, Your Holiness.
My friends call me just Bob, but that may lead to confusion with J.R. Bob Dobbs, our risen savior, so it's best to just call me Your Holiness.
Yeah, that's better than saying false Bob. I could just... But who knows? Who knows how many Bobs are false and true at the same time? Well, friends, I have to admit something tonight, and that is that if His Holiness Pope Dr. St. Wilson and Robert Shea, if you guys had not busted your butts on the Illuminatus trilogy of books, I might now be a drunken film gaffer. And there certainly would be no Church of the Subgenius as we now know it, because I ripped off so many concepts and things from you to fill out what Bob had given us.
So, lots of people tell me Illuminatus has changed their lives, usually with the help of Thunderbird.
Praise the bird! There is a Subgenius clench in Boston which worships Thunderbird wine exclusively. America's fine aperitif wine, made and bottled in Modesto, California.
It works best with methadrine, of course.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. There was a time back when, way back when, you could throw those little things in that bottle and shake it up. And well, friends, that's a bad, terrible kind of thing to even conceive of. But the true religion is often out on the streets like that. Dr. Wilson here, for those of you who don't know, his holiness... He's a bad boy philosopher, a bone vivant, a mystic prankster, and a contactee with forces beyond the ken of man. But what do you know about that? We're going to find out. Before we get totally loose here, I wanted to ask you one thing. Now, on the Dobbs Enlightenment test, which you theoretically shouldn't remember taking, right?
As a matter of fact, my memory of that is a little bit fuzzy.
God, if you have any memory of that at all, this would figure, because your score was 9.9 wrenchens out of 12 on that scale, and yet, you wear no turban, you're not celibate, I assume, you have a wife and kids, you don't make cryptic, self-satisfying statements, you're not... native of India, and none of the trappings of your straight enlightened guru. You strike me as sort of a regular guy, except with a Brooklyn accent, which was totally unexpected. So, what's your secret? I mean, obviously it's enlightenment, but it's a slackful enlightenment.
It's the pure grace of Bob in my heart. Praise Bob.
Friends, listen to that testimonial. I mean, but yet I understand from what I've picked up from your writings, you've been through the crucible. You've felt you've been in the house of pain. And what I wanted to ask you is, you know, must there be the torment? Is it necessary?
Hell no.
Praise Bob! Something for nothing, friends. Ultimately, I guess what Slack is all about. And you see, I can ask a 10-sentence question, and he can answer it much more cleverly in 3 words.
Well, that was what Bob summed up everything in 3 words when I spoke to him today. We had a long 2-hour conversation, and at the end of it all, he put this whole philosophy in a nutshell. As he shook my hands and looked me straight in the eye, he said just 3 words that meant everything. He said, "Send more money."
Friends... And that reminds me, we haven't got all that pledge money from y'all yet. And, I mean, what kind of a sub-genius are you? That's ridiculous. Now, Pope Saint Hierarch Wilson, just how many secret societies have you actually founded or had a lot to do with putting together you can talk about?
666.
Where have I heard that before? Oh, come on. I bet it wasn't really 600. It was probably 663, and you rounded it off, right?
Well, do you want me to list them all?
Well, like the Discordians. The Discordians, dear friends, for those few of you who don't know, is like a precursor to the Church of the Subgenius. It was started, in the late 50s?
1957 in a bowling alley in Yorba Linda, California, near the site of the beautiful future Richard Nixon Memorial statue. We're raising money for that statue, and if anybody here is interested in anybody listening who wants to commemorate Richard Nixon, the most egregious president this country ever had, and if you don't know what egregious means, go look at your dictionary. It's worth looking up, and he certainly was egregious. We're going to put up a statue of Nixon made out of solid gold, 10 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty, facing Asia and warning those commies not to try to get a jump on Uncle Sammy. And there's going to be a bunch of lettuce in one hand and a bunch of tapes from a wiretap machine in the other hand and an allegorical figure of Cesar Chavez below his left foot.
All right. Hey, I'll give. Yeah, it may not be money, but hey, I'll go out there and help lay some of that gold plating on there.
Well, it's gold to commemorate the golden apple of Aris.
Yeah.
And the Acapulco gold that inspired the Discordian Society in the first place.
The gold, friends. Is that all you're after is gold? No, you're after status, too. I know it. That's okay. So am I, obviously. Well, yeah, the Discordians, they were, and still are. That's one thing that has given me a great deal of hope, is that the Discordian faith, as obnoxious as it is, has never gone away. It only grows and grows. I know half the subgeniuses out there are Discordians, and yet there was never a central P.O. box like we have, or that like Jimmy Swaggart or Jerry Falwell has. There's never been.
Well, that's one of our basic slogans, mantras, is we Discordians must stick apart.
Is that why you guys have Slack and I don't usually?
There are now, we're growing faster all the time, there are now 9 million Discordian popes on this planet. And we're not going to rest until we've made a pope out of every man, woman, child, and good-looking dog on this planet. We're not gonna pontificate the ugly dogs, but all the good-looking dogs can be popes. Irish setters, golden retrievers, dachshunds, they can all be popes. Well, none of these ugly hound dogs you see skulking around alleys, though.
Well, we've got at least 14 to 10,000 listeners right now. So why don't you hair-lip every man, woman, and child on Bear Creek right now?
I certainly will. You see, recently the Vatican announced that cardinals can give indulgences over television, which is a great breakthrough in Catholic theology. I respect their theology tremendously because it's so much like ours in the Discordian Society. And I figured if they can do indulgences over television, I can do pontifications over the radio. We used to just make popes by handing out pope cards, but now everybody listening to the sound of my voice automatically becomes a Discordian pope and is totally infallible, and henceforth take crap from nobody.
Whether you want to be or not, friends. Oh, and for you subgenius popes out there, this gives you a double-barreled ability. You are both infallible and totally fallible, which is the gift of subgenius pope.
Well, we've sent one to the guy in Rome who thinks he's the only pope. So he's a Catholic pope and a Discordian pope both. You ought to make him a subgenius pope, too, so he'll be a triple threat.
Who knows where Bob is right this minute, friends? Is he striding through the halls of the Vatican, ready to smite or ordain?
I don't know. Pope? He was talking to Father Guido Sarducci when I left him.
Well, you know, I actually stole my Discordian popeship. I found a cheesy Xerox of the Principia Discordia. Did I pronounce that right?
Principia Discordia.
Principia Discordia.
That's our holy book.
Right. Which can now be bought from Loom Panics Company, but at that time it was like bootleg Xeroxes. And somebody, I just started printing subgenius pamphlets for Bob, and somebody came up to me and said, "You better look at this. It's just like Subgenius." And I wanted to kill whoever had done it. And then I realized it predated Subgenius by a long shot, and also that it was absolutely nothing like Subgenius, because it was much... The Discordian faith seemed to be much more forgiving of the normals, or something. I mean,
and the first edition of the Principia was 5 copies, and it was run off on the Xerox machine of District Attorney Jim Garrison in New Orleans. After office hours, Jim Garrison has never known his role in the evolution.
Is that true?
That's true, yes.
Praise Bob!
Praise Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did Kerry Thornley have something to do with that?
Parts of the Principia were written by Kerry Thornley, the second Oswald, as he's known among his friends.
Yeah, oh, he's a famous subgenius. avoided by many. And beloved, oh, beloved.
Most of the Principia was written by Malaclips the Younger, the omnibenevolent polyfather of virginity and gold. I wrote a few parts myself, and so did Josh the Dill, and Onrak the Backwoods, and Camden Benares, and other Discordian popes and saints. The main inspiration, of course, was Emperor Norton.
Praise Emperor Norton! Fall down on your knees! You might describe who Emperor Norton was and is in our hearts.
Well, Emperor Norton was a Jewish businessman born in Cape Town, South Africa, who emigrated to San Francisco in the 1840s. He was horrified by the vigilantes. He thought that democracy was collapsing into mob rule, and he decided the United States needed an emperor. And since he'd been keeping it a closely guarded secret all his life that he was the illegitimate son of the King of France, he decided to announce it publicly and make himself Emperor of the United States. A while later, he made himself Protector of Mexico, and towards the end, he added King of the Jews, which is why he's not buried in a Jewish cemetery. The rabbis decided that was blasphemy, so the Freemasons buried him instead. He printed his own currency, and he got everybody in San Francisco to accept it, which just goes to show what you can accomplish. If the proper man is in the right place at the right time, as Lao Tzu says, anything can happen. Emperor Norton's currency was not only good in his lifetime, it's worth even more now. People pay fabulous. They pay $1,000 for one of Emperor Norton's 50-cent notes, as long as it's signed with his hand. Genuine Emperor Norton note. He ruled for 23 years. He tried to stop the Civil War. He ordered Jefferson Davis and Abraham Lincoln to come to San Francisco and submit to arbitration by himself. And then he excommunicated them when they wouldn't come.
And what year was this?
This was from 1857 to 1880.
Good Lord.
As Malaclips the Younger says, everybody understands Mickey Mouse. Few understand Einstein, hardly anybody understands James Joyce, and nobody understands Emperor Norton. Live like him.
Except Bob Dobbs, friends, who doesn't need to understand Emperor Norton, but just may have been him. There have always been Bobs. Not always by that name. Well, what about this Masonic conspiracy? That's one thing I want to know about. My dad, for instance, is a Mason. The cameraman behind me is a Mason. For all I know, the Willa Dobbs may be a Mason, and I'm a 44th degree Mason, which is why none of you even knew I was. So, I mean, where does this work in? Are the Masons really demon worshippers?
The Masons are responsible for secularism, humanism, democracy, Jeffersonian civil liberties, and all the hideous forces that religious conservatives oppose. All the forces that have made America the richest and freest country in the world, they all come from Masonic theory. And I can see why the religious oppose them. As Thomas Jefferson said, I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility to every form of tyranny over the mind of man. That is why the clergy oppose me. That is on the Jefferson Monument in Washington, except the last sentence. They left that out in the interest of brevity.
Yeah, sure.
He was a Primus Illuminatus.
Oh, and which leads me to, I ought to play this little bit of tape. Now, this is supposedly a true, this has got to be true because I heard it on TV. Now, if we can just tune this young feller in, and none of you here in the studio will be able to hear this.
One for 18 years.
You were a practicing witch, and that's what you called yourself.
As a matter of fact, first thing I started off as was with what's known as the Earth Mother religion. Mm-hmm. You believe in the plurality of gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, which is what Laurie has been telling us.
Basically. Eventually, as I got to the higher levels, your philosophy is changed. You are not told what's really going on. Now, a lot of witches today, independent witches, people who are doing it by themselves, and those who haven't really reached the higher levels yet honestly believe that there's just, you know, this Earth Mother religion. After you get to the higher levels, you're actually told what God you're worshiping. We call him Satan, okay? But they call him Lucifer. Mm-hmm. This group I'm talking about is known as the Illuminati. They are the most powerful, subversive group that's ever existed in all of man's history.
And where are they existing? Here?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they've already infiltrated our government. On the back of the $1 bill, you will find three hexagrams and a pentacle. The hexagram with that symbol and a circle around it, a witch can summon up a demon. Demons, you order about, to cause things to happen. It's not something.
The message is now part of and registered in your subconscious mind.
Oh, friends, now you know. That was that didn't sound quite as crisp as I hoped it would. But this man was saying that witches, the entire nature religion, probably the whole New Age was being controlled by the Illuminati, and yet I've always understood that the Illuminati was merely a small subsidiary of Dobbs Co. And this is, it becomes quite confusing. Where does one start and the other stop? And how much are they paying you to do this, sir?
Well, it beats the hell out of me, I tell you. I wrote Illuminatus with Bob Shea, and I thought it was fiction. And then this John Todd appears on the scene going around to fundamentalist meetings. He claims everything in that book is true. He lived through it all. And either he's ripping me off, or by ESP, I was writing fiction, what I thought was fiction, but was actually his life story. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know whether to sue him for plagiarism or go ask him for help before they get me.
Hey, for a long time, I thought that Bob was surely pulling our leg, that the conspiracy, which actually is in some ways, in the more pragmatic ways, is interchangeable term with the Illuminati. We thought for sure he was joking until the Secret Service showed up at my door and various other coincidences. Hey, is that what they were or what? And finally, that got so scary, I decided not to believe in him anymore. And just believe everything Bob said, totally, including when he said there was no Illuminati, and that it was actually just man's stupidity alone that had caused so many problems. So,
they're real enough, as T.S. Eliot said about the White Cliffs of Dover. They're real enough. After I first met Bob that first time in Dublin, the men in black kept coming around to my door for weeks afterwards, pretending to be Jehovah's Witnesses and trying to get into my living room and brainwash me.
But I always let them do that. But I don't let them exactly brainwash me. I just record everything they say and then kind of change it a little bit and use it for subgenius.
Well, I tell them, don't let my cat out. There's a lot of really vicious pigeons in this town. That confuses them.
Well, I'm sure you've probably had some run-ins with the conspiracy. I mean the real conspiracy. Now, Bob, I don't know if you knew this, but your one-time collaborator, Bob Shea, spoke on a panel discussion at the Subgenius World Convention in Chicago in 1982. And I had expected him to take these things a bit more seriously, but he joked about it like he thought it was all a big funny a metaphor for something.
Well, it is all a big funny metaphor for something. But what it's a big funny metaphor for isn't funny at all.
Praise Bob. Now, that was a good line. We'll use that in the next pamphlet, friend.
Some people think Discordianism is a complicated joke disguised as a new religion, but actually it's a new religion disguised as a complicated joke. I bet you haven't even heard about the Church of Fred Mertz Bodhisattva.
I sure have. You bet I have. Are they still around? Oh, have you heard from them recently?
They're growing faster. They had only 3 members last year. Membership has more than tripled since then.
Well, I remember when we were talking that way, which means in about 10 years there'll be about 3,000 of them, and they'll end up in little weekly entertainment magazines.
It's one of the truest religions around. This is based on the belief that Fred Mertz is the Bodhisattva assigned to American TV viewers. Amida Buddha swore that he would not accept Nirvana until every sentient being was enlightened. And in order to do this, it needs an almost infinite number of bodhisattvas. How do you communicate with the fleas, for instance? How do you communicate with the lice? How do you bring enlightenment to an amoeba? It takes a lot of bodhisattvas. And then there's the problem, how the hell do you reach American television viewers? How are you going to get enlightenment to them?
You think amoebas are hard.
Yeah, I mean, the American TV viewers, I mean, that's a lower life form than the amoeba on the evolutionary scale. Well, they sent Fred Mertz and put him on the I Love Lucy, so everything he says is a profound revelation of cosmic truth. You just got to be properly attuned. And I have a friend in Maui that will send you the proper stuff to get you attuned so you can appreciate Fred Mertz on those old reruns.
Oh, I have gotten mailings from them. I didn't know they were still around. I'm glad to know, and I need their address for my upcoming book of listing weird groups you can get free junk from by mail. And I was going to ask you, you've infiltrated many cults, and I'm sure
666.
Right, there you go. And all these great kooks have approached you. Are there any sickos, contactees, Jesuses, or great God Pans that really stick out in your mind that have announced themselves to you?
Well, there was one guy who used to call me up around 2 in the morning to tell me his latest flying saucer contacts, but after that I got an unlisted phone number. It's a bit of a drag to get out of the bed at 2 in the morning to listen to somebody raving about the beautiful green women from Venus he's been bawling lately.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, that's how Reverend Buck Naked first approached the church. He was kidding, but I thought he wasn't, and later on we ran into people who indeed...
I was disappointed meeting the Reverend Buck Naked. I got a literal mind. If somebody's named Carpenter, I expect they're going to be carrying a chainsaw or something. And with somebody's named Buck Naked, you know what I expected? Well, anyway.
Well, that's what the post office has said to me several times. People at the sacred P.O. Box, friends. And that is P.O. Box 140306, Dallas, Texas, 75214, the home of Bob. We'll give that number again at the end of the broadcast. Yes. Well, okay, the conspiracy, obviously, you know, I'm sure they haven't paid you enough for your books. What makes the conspiracy real for you, or the Illuminati? Depending on, actually, I should clarify, the Illuminati is an actual group, and the conspiracy in Subgenius Doctrine is a million groups, but also everyone, including the worst side of you, the listener. Perhaps the backside. We don't know. It depends. So, the horror. What?
As Mr. Kurtz says at the end of Heart of Darkness, the horror, the horror. And most people don't realize he was asking for Israeli music. The Illuminati is, as I said, a funny metaphor for something that isn't funny at all. And that's the general human tendency to make a mess out of everything. Now, this is because there is no one conspiracy running the world. I'm sorry to break the news to you folks. I know how much faith a lot of you listeners have in the one conspiracy. Actually, there are 24 conspiracies. If there was one conspiracy, things would be organized and they'd make sense. Because there are 24 conspiracies, that's why there is so much chaos, discord, confusion, bureaucracy, and international relations. And you all know who's the goddess of chaos, discord, confusion, bureaucracy, and international relations. That's Ares. Hail Ares. She is the chick who had done it all.
Yeah, I'm a Jehovahian patriarch myself. We in the Stangian Orthodox Fist Temple Lodge of the Yeti Dobbs Resurrected. Why did she divorce Jehovah One? That's what I want to know. Why would that giant split in the... I mean, the squirt could have been perfect, and now look, he kept
messing around with those Greek nymphs, and she was afraid she was going to catch something worse than AIDS.
Oh, friends, there are so many worse things out there.
You know, the Ayatollah Khomeini has announced that if a man sodomizes camels, his wife can't get a divorce, because Allah is opposed to divorce, even in that case.
If a man's wife sodomizes...
No, if a man sodomizes camels, his wife can't get a divorce.
I was going to say, a wife sodomizing camels.
However, the Ayatollah has a liberal side. He said if a man is in the habit of sodomizing his brother-in-law, then his wife can get a divorce. So you see, compared to the Pope, the Ayatollah is something of a liberal. He's been corrupted by Illuminati influences. There's no doubt about it.
Well, he's come a long way, though. You know, obviously it pays off. But if John F. Kennedy shot Bob Dobbs, then who shot Kennedy? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that was everybody knows who shot Kennedy. That was an extraterrestrial job. The proof is you just gotta look at the records, the Warren Commission, all the conspiracy books, all the other novels written about it, the Warren novel, the Weisberg novels, the Mark Lane novel. Oswald was up on the sixth floor shooting. He was on the third floor having a Coca-Cola, and he was down on the ground floor in the crowd. Now, the only way that's possible is if he were cloned, and there was no cloning available on this planet then, so it was obviously done by extraterrestrials.
Obviously, dear friends. Well, actually, Bob Dobbs himself, you know, did you know that the official, what Dr. Philo Drummond was told by Bob was that Kennedy came to Bob and asked him what to do. He needed slack. He said, how can I get slack? This job has too much pressure. And Bob said, stage a fake assassination. It works great. And Kennedy is still alive driving a taxi in Argentina somewhere, having a great time. But
actually, he eloped with Marilyn Monroe. They faked her death, too. That's why all these conspiracy books about Marilyn, they all show there's a cover-up, and they never explain what was behind the cover-up. The cover-up was that she finally persuaded John, as she was trying for years, to dump Jackie and run off with her. That is the secret that all these conspiracy books have not been able to unearth. That and the extraterrestrial involvement, of course.
Oh, so, friends, the secrets are being unveiled in front of your very ears right now, and in front of the eyes, in fact, of our video watcher. I bet you're going through those channels trying to figure out how to see us. You have to be a Mason to do that, friends. Well, I probably should go to some of these carts that I must play for goodness, for the sake of good.
You can be anyone this time around. You can be anything this time around. You can be anything this time around. You can do anything this time around. You can be anyone this time around. You're the first generation in human history to know how to control your own nervous system. Change your own reality. Blow your own mind. Make up your own mind. You can be anything this time around. You can be God this time around. You've got to be God this time around. You can be anything this time around. You can be anyone this time around.
Yeah, as long as you're born rich, as long as you're white, yeah, as long as you're, as long as you've got a credit card. I don't know, I have a sort of a cynical attitude. That, friends, that was the mighty Timothy Leary.
That's Bob Dobbs.
What?
I recognize that voice. That's Bob.
No. Bob has a Texas accent. He's not from Texas, but he does have a sort of.
But that was
accent.
Bob's voice. Do you mean to tell me that Tim Leary and Bob Dobbs are the same person and I never realized it before?
Oh, my God! That's a bizarre and frightening revelation! Could we get in trouble over that or something? Well, Dr. Wilson here has written what? How many books that you did with in cooperation with Leary? Is it just one?
Just one.
Neuropolitics?
That's right.
Yeah, I have not read
that. Oh, two, actually. The Game of Life also. Of course, according to Art Klepp's theory, he wrote Illuminatus. The world is full of mythology and contradiction and ambiguity.
Praise the boo-hoos, dear friends. Now, where would the church be without contradiction and ambiguity? I mean, well, we'd probably be rich, actually. We'd probably be able to sell, we'd change the name of the book to Book of Bob and make it real corny, and we'd probably be popular. Popular! Oh, speaking of popular, I was just interested to know, like, for instance, you've done how many books? And we ought to cover that, by the way. Folks, you can go out and pick up a number of books by Robert Anton Wilson. I know that the Illuminatus trilogy is out in big, like all three of them in one, at Taylor's Bookstore. And Moongrove Bookstore over in Old Town, Paul Key's store. Lots of you who are interested in this stuff should drop by there if you haven't. So he's got all the new stuff.
Cosmic Trigger, Sex and Drugs. I didn't call it Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll because I didn't want to be sensational. I just called it Sex and Drugs.
Oh, hell.
And The New Inquisition and Right Where You Are Sitting Now.
Friends, you need to go out there and pick up those holy texts. You can tell by Dr. Saint Holiness Wilson's attitude that these are, I mean, this is sincere words of wisdom sacred bull data, all mixed up together just the way you like it. So it goes down smooth. I want to publicly invite you to do this so that you can't back down. I'm going to hit up several other well-known folks, but I'm trying to, because I don't have a job, Robert, to tell the truth. I'm between jobs. And I've got these three book projects I'm trying to sell. Now, one is Tales, fictional short stories about Bob Dobbs, called Three-Fisted Tales of Bob. Stories by a whole lot of different people, some well-known, some not. But this is one that I want to invite you and all the listeners of this show who want to contribute to. And this would be a book called Bummers, a series of firsthand descriptions of your most horrifying but hilarious in retrospect drug trips, including alcohol, you know, not just psychedelics or whatever, because it would be hilariously funny to some of us in certain moods, and it would be instructive. It would be actually a good book for people to read who are thinking about getting into it. It would give them a little better idea of just what's out there besides the fun stuff that their rock and roll guys sing about, and you know, there's a little bit of each. So what I want to do, I've gotten some great material. Mostly from out of town. None of the hours, only 2 hour Slack listeners have ever sent any of those things in because they all think we're getting flooded with it. Send those to P.O. Box
181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118.
I'll give that number again at the end of the broadcast. Or to KNON, addressed to the hour of Slack. I just thought I'd mention that. I want to put you on the spot and put all you listeners on the spot. Especially if you haven't paid your pledge yet. It's the only way to get out of the Christian heaven. Oh, here we go. The Weeping Cyclops cart. I've got several things I wanted to cover before we have to get off. They only give you an hour of slack in Dallas. And some people don't even get that much.
An hour of slack is longer than an infinity of boredom.
Well, how would you... What's your idea of slack?
Well, the way it came to me when I was talking to Bob the first time in Paris back in the 30s, this was after we both got kicked out of the Gurdjieff school together. There were allegations of a most obscene nature, which I wouldn't sully the audience's ears by repeating. But you know, the universe is made up of something and nothing. You've noticed that.
Oh, yeah, that was shown to me quite vividly at one point. I tried to forget it.
Yeah, well, the audience can see this by just listening to me. When I'm talking, you hear something. When I stop, you hear nothing.
Not on this show. Okay, there we go. Nothing. Oops. By the way, it was me that made that noise at your seminar when you asked for people to listen to the silence.
I suspected as much.
I had to.
If you look at anything, if you listen, you hear the nothing in between the somethings, as John Cage has pointed out in his book on music called Silence. And if you look at anything, you see the thing and you see a lot of nothing around it. So everything is balanced between something and nothing. The atom consists mostly of nothing, as quantum physics has revealed. And slack is the point between something and nothing. When you're able to attune your mind to the implicate order of the subquantal world, you are between something and nothing, and then you're in perfect slack, and from then on you can get something for nothing.
Repent! Quit your job and slack off, dear friend! Help me, somebody. Oh, something for nothing, dear friends. That's
what people have always wanted.
For a concept like slack, which is definitively undefinable, that's pretty concise. I mean, you know, you can go on and on and on about it. And on and on. Well, here's another form of the quest for slack. Life extension. Now, I have not been doing my homework, and I don't know where the life extension world is, but I noticed that you still occasionally smoke cigarettes. Now, that could be taken two different ways. Is this because you have great trust in it, or in life extension research, or because you've given up on it totally?
Well, it's because I left California. When I was in California, I had this perfect perspective on the universe because I knew, I still know most of the leading researchers in life extension. And it seems to me that if we get another 100 years of life, the breakthroughs in that time mean that we'll get thousands of years of life from further medical research. And it goes on in a perpetual regress that we might be living millions of years. And on the other hand, I was living on the San Andreas Fault, which meant that I might be dead in a second. And I thought that gave me the perfect sense of perspective. But since I'm not living on the San Andreas Fault, I got to find something else to keep my life interesting. So I do a lot of flying in airplanes, and I smoke cigarettes occasionally.
Yeah, I sort of know what you mean there. You're not. I guess you don't live on ground zero like most of us. Or would Dublin be considered yet another ground zero?
The Irish don't have nuclear plants, they don't have nuclear missiles, they don't have nuclear anything.
And they don't even have their own country.
Well, after 800 years of English conquest, the rest of Europe is pretty much convinced there's nothing there worth conquering, so nobody's likely to invade them. They don't have much of an army either.
Well, I don't know. I've chosen to live in Dallas, partly because I hate this town so much I refuse to leave, but... just thinking about that instant obliteration. The only thing that worries me, that really worries me about that, aside from the destruction of all life on Earth, a minor consideration, is that what would a nuclear explosion do to the soul of the person? That's a scary, scary part. I've always thought. I can hear some pleasant music in the background to comment on that. See, you can't hear the background music if you don't have headphones on. I always have something going on in the background on this the show. We have to. It helps throw off those who shouldn't understand, or those who we want to confuse so much that they cannot misunderstand.
It's important that too much should not be revealed at once.
Except when it's always better than not enough.
Jerry Falwell is for those who are at that level. Shirley MacLaine is for those at a little bit higher level. And Elephant Duty Comics is for those one step up from there, and so on, until you reach the level of the subgenius. And beyond that, there's nowhere to go except Discordianism.
What? Wait a minute! Well, I'm not going to get into that. That happened with Shay, too. You got into a fist fight over, you know, Jehovah versus Eris. Well, let's see now.
Bob don't ever change, he's Bob, always will be Bob. His face is the one big assembly of dots that shine in the dark. His grin is the one that looks friendly, but so does the grin of a shark. He's Bob, Bob don't ever change. He's Bob, always will be Bob. His hair is the one with the highlight that shines on the pompadour, that glimmers and gleams in the twilight. It's clear he knows what it's for. He's Bob, Bob don't never change. He's Bob, always will be Bob. His pipe is the one with the dottle that rings on the roofs like fire. His neck is the one with the waddle inflaming folks' desire. He's Bob. Bob don't ever change. He's Bob. Always will be Bob.
And that it goes on from there. Oh, friends, that was Dr. Howell. The mighty song. I'd love to have a whole chorus of people singing that with real deep voices. Yeah.
It really touches you.
Yeah, be careful where it touches you, friends. And it carries diseases. Now, speaking of Bob actually does change. He comes in many forms, and I wanted to ask you. Now, you've occasionally had these creatures from Sirius or whatever enter your brain, and do you trust these things?
Not at all. Not at all.
Friends, I hope you heard that, some of you out there.
Sirius is the dog star. And as everybody knows, God is dog spelled backwards.
But look at Bob.
Bob is Bob spelled backwards.
Now, see, for some reason, I never get any contacts from pink beams of light or, you know, any, like that Whitley Strieber. Have you read Communion, the Whitley Strieber's book?
I saw him on television in Ireland.
The first of the best-seller contact e-books, which, by the way, I would recommend to people. It's a very gripping and perplexing story because the guy does not sound crazy and has lots of wit. He takes you through his experience in a very detailed way, and it's I would also recommend his books War Day and Nature's End, and those are all available in bookstores, by the way. But yeah, it's a thing. In the Church of Subgenius, we occasionally run into people who tell us they've been getting these messages beamed into their heads. And I keep telling them not to believe a word of it, unless it's Bob, and it probably isn't. And so I was going to ask, do you have any words of warning or advice that you could offer to contactees and seekers in general?
As a seeker born every minute, of course.
And they'll pay to know what they really think, too.
Yeah, I used to get messages from Sirius, and then I had a psychic reader tell me it was actually an ancient Chinese philosopher who was communicating with me. And so then I had two ways of thinking about it. And, well, if I took that ancient Chinese philosopher seriously, I'd be doing appearances with Shirley MacLaine now and channeling an ancient Chinese philosopher. But then I had another psychic reader tell me it was a medieval Irish poet who was channeling through me. And then I had three explanations. And then looking at Harvey on television one night, I realized it was probably a 6-foot-tall white rabbit from County Kerry, because some of the communications sounded just like you would expect from a 6-foot-tall white rabbit from County Kerry. He's known as the Pooka in Gaelic, and he's got a weird sense of humor. And after I had four explanations, I decided to take the most economical, and I decided it was the corpus callosum had been broken down by megavitamins, and my right brain and left brain were talking to each other, and that's all that was going on. And I find that the most scientifically economical, most convenient, and most heartening explanation. I just have two brains where most people only have one.
Two brains are better than one, dear friends, or at least more entertaining. Sort of like having a little monster movie in your head all the time. I'd love that. I would really love it. Well, we've got 5 precious minutes of slack left, dear friends. And I do want to go to another tape to carry out the end of the show, mainly because I want you to have a copy of it. This is be from the Pope, the controller of all South America. G. Gordon Gordon, also a mercenary for Bob. He has killed many to give them slack. And if that's what it takes, then so be it, dear friends. But I wanted to play this
death
one specifically.
Death is just nature's way of telling you you need slack.
That's another one, man. I think you did meet Bob today. Although I refuse to believe
or disbelieve any of it independently. You got to do both at the same time. In fact, the first letter, I had to have an excuse to write you a letter a long time ago, and somebody said, well, he knows something about the silver shirts that were dealing with this other UFO cult, Nazi UFO guys, and I thought, well, I'll ask him about that. Just so I'd have an excuse to send you a pamphlet. And you wrote back and said, among other things, if you get any deeper into UFOs, keep your sense of humor. So
that was a long time ago. I'd forgotten that.
Well, Robert Anton Wilson, it's been a great honor to have you on the show. And quite a coup. Think how jealous some of the other sub-genii out there will be. So go ye forth, sir. Turn others on to Bob, especially the rich and famous.
And send money.
Writers, friends, only sell books, and not many people read anymore. What was the highest sales any of your books have had, if you don't mind saying?
It depends on how long they've been out. Illuminatus is close to 1 million now.
Good Lord!
Well, that takes a while.
Yeah, and they didn't even want to publish it at first, right? Made you cut a lot of it?
It took 5 years to get that published, and they let it go out of print about 5 times in a row before they finally admitted it was a classic and they couldn't get rid of it.
Great, great. That gives me a lot of hope. We seem to be on sort of the same little thing. I got 150 rejection slips for Book of the Subgenius. Of course, I didn't write it until I got a check. We just told them what we wanted to do, and it took that long.
That's the right way. Don't write a word until you get a check in the mail.
That way they take you seriously. Well, golly, well, Robert Wisdom isn't here yet. So this is our show full of Roberts, one Bob after another. Oh, there he is. Okay. Well, I guess I can't play. I'll play some of Dr. Gordon's tape here. Because I have to, because you're probably the only person in this room that would catch all the references that are in it. I'm not kidding there. Praise Bob. Oh, friends,
Bob.
I want you to write for information to P.O. Box
181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, www.subgenius.com.
Just write for information and you'll know it all shortly thereafter. Thank you.
The word Bob from the old ganglionic responses signifies a species or separate race. Only for a lack of proper understanding has Bob been considered as an individual. More really, as the orgosmosozum, he is the chief product of the semiturgid Hejova 1, usually spelled backwards, and within the nature of this microgasm, the space god Yahweh 1 established all the qualities of powers that he himself possessed. Jehovah Prime, however, does not have slack, and therefore could not only not bestow it upon Bob, but soon learned to drain off that part of slack that Bob, his personal creation, seemed to possess in natural and unlimited quantities. According to the legend and many older beliefs, Yahweh 1 has always deceived his own creations by encouraging them to pull the wool over their own eyes, so that they, Bob and his kind, would never know the incompleteness of their Lord and Creator, nor feel the subtle vampirization as he came to depend upon their slack for his own unfathomable ends. Bobamic man consequently partook of the characteristic of angels of light, or helioperorators, who were ministers for Yod-Heh-Vau-Heh-Aleph. Indeed, it was affirmed by groups as ancient as the Christognostians of Egypt that the redemption of the Yeti was assured through the descent of slack, which, as a spiritual essence superior to that of Jeho Uno, and which, entering the constitution of the righteous, conferred conscious knowledge of that immortal slack upon the fabrications of the Semitor, or Demisturgus. That the pipe is a phallic symbol occupies an important part of early subgenius esoteric tradition. Hargraves Jennings sees in the pipe of Bob a type of lingam of Shiva, which was a sacred stone representing the creative power of the world generator plant. In Nagy's works, writes Jennings, is a passage to the effect that Bob prayed daily in the ark before the mighty pipe, that is, before the phallus, the pipe being the symbolic phallus of the great proto-creator of the blessed race. It may possibly seem strange, he says, but it is the most confessed tradition that among the Yetsini, Dobbs was commanded by Jehovah One that when he finally should expire, his dead body be kept above ground, so that in the fullness of time, as a receptacle of incarnate slack,